Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Grace gives us what we do not deserve. God surprises us with His grace. Paul writes, He saved us not because of works of righteousness done by us, but according to His own mercy. And this grace, I want you to get this, is absolutely and totally free.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe, senior pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Does it seem fair that someone may follow Christ their whole life, while another lives for themselves and comes to Christ on their deathbed? Do they both deserve heaven? Today we're considering this question from a kingdom perspective. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe to introduce today's lesson.
Isn't it true that in life you generally get what you deserve? You work, you get paid. You don't work, you don't get paid. There are no free lunches. But we're learning in our study of the Gospel of Matthew that the values of the kingdom of God are the exact opposite of this world. Jesus taught that if we want to gain our life, we must lose it. And we're learning that many who are first will be last, and the last first. That sounds strange, but last time we learned the parable of the workmen. Some worked all day, some worked part of a day, some just worked the last hour, but all of them received the same wage. Let's return to the story by Jesus as we think of the kingdom of heaven.
In the kingdom of heaven, we're going to learn that the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. You say, what's that all about? Well, let's read this wonderful parable told by our Lord in Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour, and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last. Jesus is the brilliant teacher, isn't he? I'm going to give you three principles, but in a sense, there's only one. One principle, as it were, said in three ways, three facets to help us to understand. First, everyone saved by God's grace receives the same gift of eternal life. That's wonderful, isn't it? The thief on the cross who trusted Jesus Christ moments before he died receives the same gift of eternal life as the Apostle Peter does. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. You know, sometimes Christians are a bit skeptical about this. They seem to sometimes almost resent it. We hear of someone trusting Christ on death row. And what do people say? It's almost as if some people don't want the person to be saved. That person on death row, if they turn to Christ and ask for salvation, receives the same gift of salvation, of the grace of God. Only God knows their hearts. But those who receive eternal life at the end of their life are just as saved as those who trust Christ at the beginning of their life. This is not saying that you wait to a death, to your deathbed to trust Christ. Absolutely not. That's not the message. But think of the grace of God. And can I say to those who are followers of Jesus Christ, when you see God working in the lives of others, often in unexpected ways, in unexpected individuals, don't resent God's grace to others. Do you remember the elder brother in Luke 15? The prodigal comes back. The father is delighted. Everything I have is yours. The prodigal comes back and says, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm not worthy to be your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And the father says, absolutely not. You're my son. And he brings him back and they have a party of celebration. But the elder brother doesn't understand the grace of God. And he is full of resentment. And the father has to remind him, everything I have is yours. He resents the father's grace and mercy to his prodigal son. Do you ever feel like that? You feel, I've always done the right thing. I've been a good person. And along comes this individual, and they live a life of sin, and they really mess up their sin. And now that they're saved, and everyone's rejoicing, but what about me? Jesus says, there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. Are you joyful? Are you joyful when people come to Christ unexpected way? Are you full of joy when someone who is an authentic follower of Jesus Christ strays and backslides and then they come back? Do you receive them with joy, or are you a cynic and a skeptic and always looking for the worst and complaining? Don't begrudge, to use the words of Jesus here in verse 15, don't begrudge God's generosity to others. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be envious or resentful of the work of God in the lives of others. Don't do that. Don't do that. Be gracious. You're resentful of others. You're resentful of how God has blessed some people materially. They have more material goods than you have. And you feel, I've worked just as hard as they have. And why has God blessed them and not blessed me in the same way? Do you really think that you deserve more than others? When you work at the bank or the hospital and you get bonuses and you're happy with your bonus until you find out someone got more than you have. And instead of being joyful, there is a spirit of resentment. Are you thankful for what God in His grace has done in your life over the years? Oh, you say He's blessed other people more. That may be. But are you thankful for the way that God has blessed you? You think you deserve more? Really? Who are the complainers in the parable? Who's making all the noise and the fuss? Those who'd worked the longest and felt this is unfair. They think they have a just cause. They want everyone to hear their perspective. Instead of saying, what a gracious, generous man this is, that he gives a denarius to this man that I know who's got 5 children. And he's going to go home with great joy. Instead of rejoicing with that, they're full of envy and criticism.
Don't resent God's grace and blessing in others. I have to ask you, I'm asking myself this. Are you a thankful person? The point of the parable is this. I'm not to compare myself with others. I'm to be thankful for what God in His grace is doing in my life. So I have to ask you, are you a grumbler? Are you a complainer? Don't begrudge God's generosity. I don't know about you, but this is kind of convicting for me because sometimes in life, I've tried to compare myself with others and thought, here I am, I'm doing all of this work, and this is not quite fair. Instead of saying, how blessed I am that God's grace has been on me. Big point, everyone saved receives the same gift of eternal life. So, secondly, God is never in debt to us. Don't ever think that God owes you something. Don't think, because you have followed Jesus and have served Jesus faithfully for many, many years, that God is obligated to bless you in a way that you think is just. God is never obligated to anyone. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 11:12, God the Spirit apportions to each one individually as He wills. Think of God's gifts, our spiritual gifts. Don't compare yourself with others. Understand that God sovereignly apportions His gifts to His people as He wills. Sovereignly given. Each of us has received a spiritual gift, which is a manifestation of the grace of God in our lives, and you are to accept that. Don't compare that with others. Don't say, well, this person can do it better than I can. Of course they can. Why do you always want to be the top dog? No, totally the wrong way to look at it. Be thankful of God's grace. Trust His grace. God is always, always a gracious and generous God. And the parable is reminding us. Aren't you glad that God is a gracious God? That you really think you want a God who is going to give you what you deserve? You think because you've done 1, 2, 3, God is now obliged to deliver what you think you deserve? In fact, God graciously does much more for those who trust Him than His justice demands. It is true God is a just God. This man was just in the parable. He kept his word. I'll pay you denarius. He kept his word. He was a just employer, but he was more than just. He was also gracious and generous. You want a boss like that, don't you? The last shall be first, and the first last. Here's the point, the third way. God deals with us on the principle of sheer grace. The men who'd worked only part of a day did not deserve a denarius, did they? The employer acted towards them not as a matter of justice, but as a matter of grace and generosity. He gave not based on their performance, not based on the hours that they had worked. This parable reminds us, as Scripture does repeatedly, of the triumph of grace, of amazing grace that saves wretches like us. This parable is shouting, grace, grace, grace. So Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. What's the nature of God's grace? Notice it was the owner who came to the marketplace. Grace comes down from God. The landowner took the initiative and went to the market. How wonderful to know that our salvation isn't based on what we do. It doesn't start with us. It has begun in the sovereign and eternal purposes of God, that God in His grace comes to us in Jesus Christ.
Grace is love that stoops down and down and down and comes to people like you and me. No, it's not produced by us. It's not manufactured by us. It's not that we are good and God says, well, little Johnny there is a good person. Little Susie's a nice little girl. And so I'm going to bless them. That's not how it works at all. It's grace from the heart of God. I speak to people that come in belief out there is this. Some of you have got this wrongly, so wrong, that because you're a good person, you'll get to heaven. That God will reward you for what you have done. This parable shatters that view. Grace, by definition, is undeserved. It is unmerited kindness. It is the very opposite of a reward. It's the very opposite of compensation. Grace, by definition, can't be earned, can't be bought. The workers didn't earn the denarius who had worked just a few hours. Of course they didn't. Payment was given to them out of the landowner's generosity. God is just. Yes, praise God for that. But he's also a gracious God and a good God. Haven't you experienced that? Do you just want a God who's just? Do you just want a person who just gives you what you deserve? No, no. God is just. But God showers and lavishes his grace on us. He offers you what you do not deserve, namely eternal life. Grace gives us what we do not deserve. God surprises us with his grace. Paul writes, he saved us not because of works of righteousness done by us, but according to his own mercy. And this grace, I want you to get this, is absolutely and totally free. The gospel is not you do this and God will do his part. The gospel is not you obey the commandments and if you do, God will let you into heaven. It's not that at all. It's not do this. It's to look to our Lord Jesus Christ who's done it all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a gift. It's a gift of God. We receive it freely, all of God's grace. You can never pay for your salvation. You can never contribute anything to your salvation. It's grace. You say, how do I get it? It's received through faith. Grace is the fountain, the infinite fountain of salvation. How is it received? Faith is the channel by which this living water comes to me. I look to Christ. I look on his lovely face. I look on the Lord of glory who died for my sins, was buried and rose again. Faith is the outstretched hand receiving the gift. Today, God in his grace, in his limitless grace, whoever you are, whatever you're messed up your life have done, God offers you grace, salvation, forgiveness. Will you receive it? Will you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? Many who are first will be last, and the last first. But all who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ inherit eternal life. Have you received the gift of eternal life? Have you received God's grace? Or are you like these workmen saying, no, I need to get what I deserve? My friend, if you get what you deserve, it will be an eternity in hell. That's what we all deserve. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Grace. I praise God I'm saved by grace. If you are saved by grace, there are certain things that should characterize you. Do you display that grace to others? Are you a harsh, legalistic individual, divisive in your relationships because you're so tough, you're so unyielding? There's a harshness about you, and you say, well, I'm all about justice. Yes, we should all be about justice, but we should also be all about grace and generosity and forgiveness and kindness and generous. It's wonderful to have friends who are kind and generous. It's wonderful to be in a home where your spouse and your children or grandchildren, if you have them, where there's an evidence of grace, where there's thankful hearts, where there's generosity, when there's kindness, when we're quick to forgive each other rather than thinking the worst about each other, because God in his grace has poured grace upon grace upon grace on us. We serve God then not grudgingly trying to pay off a debt, but no, we serve God joyfully out of a heart of love and thankfulness for this one who loved us and gave himself for us. Today God offers you not what you deserve, he offers you grace. Absolutely free. It's never too late to come to Christ. You may be 98 or you may be 8. Makes no difference. You receive Christ, you'll receive the same gift. And the love of God that came into my heart is the love of God that will come into your heart. And the blood of Christ that cleansed me from all of my sin is the same blood that will cleanse you from all of your sin. And the Holy Spirit who indwells me is the same Holy Spirit who's going to indwell you. That we're all on the one level, all saved by grace alone. Sheer grace. Grace which is greater than our sins. Some of you have never received this salvation in Christ. Some of you are struggling with this. Now I ask you, you confess your sins, you see that. Will you look to the Lord Jesus and ask him to come and save you? Into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I believe that you're the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you were buried and you rose again. You're the living God. Come and cleanse me and save me. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, No Free Lunches. Today, John encouraged us to put our trust in Jesus Christ and receive forgiveness and salvation. But perhaps you've been reluctant to put your trust in Christ. Maybe you don't understand why trusting God will make any real difference in your life as you face difficult issues, such as the death of a loved one, loss of employment, or broken family relationships. That's why John has written a guide called Trusting God in Tough Times. And no matter where you are, we'd love to send you a free copy of this helpful booklet today. Just go to our website at theverdict.org and request your free copy of Trusting God in Tough Times. And before we end today's program, we also want to invite you to play a part in what God is doing through The Verdict. With your donation of any amount, you're helping us share God's Word with new listeners each week. So if reaching others with the gospel is something you're passionate about, consider giving a financial gift today to support this ministry. Whether it's $5, $50, less or more, it's easy to give today when you visit theverdict.org. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to our daily podcast, now featuring John's weekly podcast exclusive, Avizandum. To learn more about this new topical feature, just visit our website. Again, that's theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe to close out today's program.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you think it's fair that someone who lives an evil and selfish life can trust Christ on the last day on earth and be saved, while someone who lives a good and productive life on earth but does not trust Christ is eternally lost? We must understand that not one of us deserves God's blessing. Those in heaven are there not because of their goodness, but because of the sheer grace of God. It is by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.